Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform life.
Greetings I bring from the Bible Society of Malaysia Church. A very good morning. In fact, I'm so privileged to be here because today is Mission Sunday and also I could witness the great baptism of our dear brothers and sisters in Christ. And the word of God that came to me while I was sitting and witnessing the great act of baptism is from Acts chapter 2. Let me read that because it encourages each one of us. Acts chapter 2 verse 41. So those who welcomed this message were baptized. And that day about 3,000 persons were added. That is the event of Pentecost. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And later on, in verse 46, as we are baptized and we become part of the body of Christ, it says here, day by day as they spent time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who are being saved. And this is the exact words that came to me as my dear brothers and sisters in Christ were baptized on this very wonderful day. Let's praise God for that. Let's praise God for that. Now today, within the given time, I'm supposed to introduce the Bible Society. And also to share with you the Word of God. Now, in sharing about information of the Bible Society, I will not bore you with a lot of facts and figures, but there will be a lot of historical events and happenings that happened way back as 1804. Now, the Bible Society of Malaysia, the whole Bible Society, let me just take you to the next slide. The Bible Society is a Bible movement. And this movement started with a young girl from Wales. She's a Welsh girl by the name of Mary Jones. See, everything started with a little girl, you know, from very small, and it grew up. It grew into a big organization. Now, this young girl, she was only about 12 years old, and she wanted to read the Bible in her own language. Don't ever think that the whole of United Kingdom of Great Britain at that time read English. Because in various parts of United Kingdom, they speak their local indigenous languages. So people in Wales speaks Welsh, and Ireland, they speak Irish and so and so forth. And she wanted to read the Bible in her own language. So it says that she walked about 11 or 12 kilometers at that time to see a particular pastor. His name was Reverend Thomas Charles. By the way, he's a Presbyterian pastor. When he went there at that time, Bibles were limited edition, you know, you don't have large printing and mass printing of the Bibles. So there was only one Bible in the Welsh language, and Reverend Thomas Charles gave it to this little girl. And that actually motivated and inspired Reverend Thomas Charles, and he got together all the pastors there and said, if it is for Wales, why can't it be for the whole world? If it is for Wales, why can't it be for the whole world? And so it gave birth to the Bible Society of Britain, that means the Foreign Bible Society. You know that Bible Society, Britain was ruling three-quarter of the world and so many colonies. So they named it as British Foreign Bible Society. And that went on and till 1946. That was just after World War I and just ending of World War II, where 13 Bible societies got together and formed the United Bible Society. The United Bible Society, which has its headquarters in London at this present time. Now, going back to Bible Society of Malaya, Bible Society of Malaya at that time, you know, back in history, you know, the arrival of Sir Stamford Raffles, and he, with him came the missionaries to this land. Of course, when you talk about Singapore was part of Malaya at that time. And British Foreign Bible Society came with their missionaries and they established themselves as British Bible Society of Malaya as far as back as 1837. That means the Bible Society is one of the oldest Christian organizations in Malaya. And they established themselves as British Bible Society of Malaya. So it's almost 187 years the Bible Society has been established here. And those days, there were lots of missionaries in Malaya at that time. And they used Malaya to be the launch pad for Bible mission. And just would like to relate one of the eyewitness account of a missionary who was here in 1846. He wrote a book. And that book is also, only one book is surviving in Oxford University. And that book says, let me just read a few things. In those days, the Mohammedans used to hang Bible verses on the walls. We are talking about Malaya at that time, in 1846. The Mohammedans, you know whom I'm talking about. I don't have to explain furthermore. And it says there, 86,000 Bible portions were distributed throughout Malaya and throughout Indochina. And this is where we are now in Malaysia. We are going to face general election and look at the atmosphere at that time and even now. There was great promotion of Bible scripture distribution all throughout this Malaya at that time. And also they used Malaya to be the distribution center for the whole of Indochina. And let me get back to you, tell you two stories. And this story will encourage you even more. You see, just before, after the World War I, the warring nations came together. The Christians of all the warring nations came together. And 1939, it was during Hitler's time in Germany. And there were two prisoners of war. They were actually in two cells, side by side. And one was a pastor, another one was a soldier in Hitler's regime. And he absconded. He said, yeah, I don't want to fight for Hitler, killing many Jews. And you know, throughout when they were in both the cells, the pastor tried evangelizing to this prisoner, the soldier. And to the end, you know, the prisoner accepted Jesus Christ. And he said, can I hold the Bible? The pastor had only one Bible with him. And he gave that Bible to that prisoner. But sad to say, that prisoner went into the gallows or the gas chamber. You know, the day before he went into the gas chamber, this is what he said. I'm going to face death, but I'm going to face eternal life. And so this pastor, this soldier went into the gas chamber. Later on, this pastor was released some or other. By then, the Allied forces came. And this pastor then became a bishop of Hanover in Germany. And he was one of the among the people who formed the United Bible Society. And this is a very great encouragement of faithfulness, of sacrifice, of generosity, of people who use the Bible. So in Bible Society, we say we are providing the Bible in the heart language of the people, the heart language of the people. And let me just take you to the next slide. By the beginning of 20th century, the Bible has been translated to 122 languages. And now we have more than 2,454 languages that has been translated. And we have many more languages to be translated. And every year we are getting into more and more translation. And now the Bible Society of Malaysia, after the Malaya period, then Later on, it became the Bible Society of Singapore, Malaysia, and Brunei. Now, I'm here not to promote Bible Society. How many of you in this congregation have heard about the Bible Society? Can I have a hands up, please? See, I'm not standing here to promote Bible Society or advertise for the Bible Society because our great government has promoted it in 2014. In 2014, there was a direct attack on Bible Society. I don't want to go into detailed explanation of what happened, but the glass door was knocked out and Bibles were confiscated, and the Bible Society has always been the punching bag. And the whole problem with the word Allah and so many other terminologies within the Bible, within the Malay Bible, which has been banned. And the court cases, the numerous court cases that are going on, which has its verdict, and some of it is just pending. So this is where the Bible Society Malaysia is now. But amidst that, the Bible Society has achieved some very great things. In the past, as I said, as I brought you to 1846, the distribution of Bibles was so rampant. Some of the milestones that I would like to take you back. Malaysia was so important as far as Bible mission was concerned. In 1823, there was this great man called Robert Morrison who came to Malacca with another gentleman, a missionary, William Mill. Robert Morrison was a British missionary and he decided to translate the Chinese Bible from Malacca. Part of it was translated in Macau by these two great gentlemen, missionaries, and it was printed in Malacca. And this year and next year we are celebrating the 200th year anniversary of the Chinese Bible. And that is, and then in 1929, the Chinese Union version, where all the Bibles came and they said we should only have one Bible. And a couple of years ago, we just celebrated the 100th anniversary of the Chinese Union Bible and the Chinese Revised Union Bible as well. So these are some of the milestones. Now, the next thing that I'm going to talk about is going to be very interesting for you, because when you get historical facts, you will be amazed. Can I ask you, the father of English Bible, who is the father of English Bible? All of us carry a Bible, either in this or in an app. Am I hearing William Tyndale? Yes, William Tyndale was the father of English Bible. For the first time, the Bible from Latin was translated in English. You know what is the cost that he paid for? He was burned a stake and he became a stake. He was burned a stake. Those days, you are not to translate the Bible in any languages. But let me tell you, as far as first century, the Hebrew Bible was translated in Greek. And that was known as Septuagint. And what more? Our Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, came and born in a Jewish culture and a language. He adopted the Jewish language. Isn't that what we are talking about? Christmas all over? Jesus came into the neighborhood of people. He lived among us. He adopted the language. He spoke the heart language of the people, the Aramaic. I think in the Bible, there are a few verses that are, there's Abba Father, and while he was on the cross, he, with all intensity, he said what? That is the only Aramaic phrase that he came out with. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Oh Lord, oh Lord. What is the rest? Why have you forsaken me? Oh Lord, why have you forsaken me? A cry of the heart. Cry of the heart. So the Aramaic language, the Syriac language, the Greek language, the Old Testament was written in the Hebrew language. And all those. And this is the tradition of the Bible translation. And so we have William Tyndale was burned to stake in 1535, as soon as the Bible was translated in English. And in after that, in 1621, the English people thought we should have an English Bible, official English Bible. So the king, at that time, King James authorized a Bible for the first time. This is coming around from the king, not King Charles, eh? King James. King James, that is called the King James Version. Now, that was translated in 1621. And in 1622, this is where you all of you are going to be amazed. In 1622, another Bible, the first non-European Bible, was translated. Can I ask you in which language? You guys are so informative, you know. You know how either you would have known that I'm coming here and did some reading about me and the Bible Society, but you people, whenever I ask anywhere else, they'll be all silent. Yes, the Malay Bible. The first non-European language that was translated is none other than the Malay Bible. Praise God. It was translated because those days in Malaya encompasses Singapore, Indonesia is another place, Malay is spoken, Bahasa Melayu, Bahasa Indonesia, and the south of Thailand, Malay is spoken, Mindanao, Malay is spoken, whole of Kalimantan, Malay is spoken. So there was this great missionary, the Dutch missionary by the name of Albert Cornelius Roel. He translated the Malay Bible. Praise God. He translated the Malay Bible with the word Allah. Just now I listened to the Urdu language. For the God, you use Khuda. Yes, even in Persian language, we use the word Khuda. In Pakistan, in Urdu, you also use the word Allah. My counterparts in all over the world is laughing at me. From the Muslim world, all of them use word Allah because the word Allah comes from the word Il Allah, Elohim. And that is an accepted word for God. It has no bearing on a Muslim God because there's only one God. The God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. Only one God. And so we see this important milestone in the translation of the Bible, which with the Malay Bible being translated. Now, so let me get back to the vision and mission of Bible Society. Okay, the vision and mission of the Bible Society. The vision of Bible Society of Malaysia is to ensure that Bible is made available to all in a language that they can understand. That's a hard language. In a format that they can access to and at a price that they can afford. Now, the format of a Bible is no more the printed Bible. You know, in Bible Society, we say that there are only two people who are carrying the printed Bible, myself and the president. The president is Dato Ng Mun Hing, the bishop of the Anglican Church, because we wanted to promote the printed Bible. Young guys, everybody is now having Bible inside here. Isn't it? All of you have this here. No harm, but the translation must still be needed to put this Bible inside here. So the format is what I'm talking about. We have the Bible apps. We have the audio Bible. We have the Braille Bible for the blind, visually impaired. We have the Malaysian Sign Language for the deaf community in this land. And so on and so forth. The Bible will evolve. And we are using AI to bring out Bible translation. So we are a progressive community. The next is the mission of Bible Society is to engage the translation of the Word of God as part of an integrated ministry. And I'll explain that further. Translation, our core business of the Bible Society's translation, and we still go on translating in the languages, the indigenous languages of this country. Publishing it, Malaysian Bible Society is given the rights to publish it Every Bible that is translated, published here, carries the word Pertubuhan Bible Malaysia. And that word, when it is carried on, it costs a lot for us. It costs our life. It costs our life. Do you know the story of Pastor Raymond Koh? I don't have to tell. Before Pastor Raymond Koh was abducted, a year before that, there was a fundraising dinner at DUMC. There was a raid during the fundraising dinner. And the guys, the authorities raided the place. They couldn't find anything, any fault with him. Finally, they took the audio Bible and the Bible that was published by the Belizean Bible Society. Again, the Belizean Bible Society was then was questioned, why are you distributing the Bible? And marketing and scripture engagement with the sole aim of transformation of the world through the word of God. And this is exactly the mission of the Bible. Let me get back to you the next. So the Bible Society has been had good leadership. Now the Bible Society, as it is is in Damansara Kim. That was a place that the government promoted it through their raid. And everybody knows the Bible Society where it is. Some people say it's BCM or BSM. The word is C and S. BCM is the Bible Seminary in Jalan Gasing. BSM is in Damansara Kim. Okay. In the past, we had good leadership of Mr. David Bowler and many other people. Presently, we have a board that is governing the Bible Society. The board is headed by Bishop Dato Ng Mun Heng, the Anglican Bishop, and Vice President Tan Kong Beng. And let me tell you, the PJ Evangelical Free Church has always been a strong supporter, a partner in Bible mission. We have had the good service of the late Reverend Loh Soon Choi. Great man indeed, a great man. He made all our board meetings very lively. Very, very lively. And I really miss him. And we have now the honorary secretary from your church, Miss Madam Catherine Chong. In fact, Madam Catherine Chong and your Reverend Alexa Ho, both of them are in the board of the Belizean Bible Society. And I'm so happy that the board has invited Bible Society on this Mission Sunday. And they were instrumental, but sad to say they are not here today. I'm sure they are viewing it from online. So we had a good lineup of people across the board from different denominations, even representing the Catholic Church from the Sabah Sarawak, the SIB Church, everybody. Because the Bible is for everyone. All who profess Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, we have only one Bible. There are no two Bibles around. Now let me get back to you. On the mission and ministry, as I just mentioned. First of all, it's an integrated ministry. Integrated means it has got Bible translation, publication, distribution, interaction, and Bible literacy. Secondly, it is interconfessional. It runs across all churches. It is interdependent. The churches wants us to translate the Bible. We are interdependent other Bible agencies and other Bible societies around the world. And finally, it emphasized the incarnational ministry. What do you mean by incarnational? As Jesus Christ was born into a particular culture and language group. You know why Christianity is so progressive? Christianity is so progressive because the Bible can be translated in every language, not in one language only. I don't want to explain it more. That is why Christianity is a vibrant, a vital language, a faith that we have. Now let me just, when you talk about integrated, let me just tell you one story, and that suffices the whole explanation of what is an integrated. Way back in 1970s, early 70s, there was a couple from Minnesota who came to Malaysia. They were a young couple. They were only 25 and 24 at that time. They came to teach English in University Malaya. In essence, they were missionaries from Minnesota. While they were teaching English, they also acquired the knowledge of Bahasa Malaysia. After 1 year or so, they went to the most interior parts of Sarawak, among a group of people that even Malaysians do not know they exist. They are known as the Penans. Of course, in later part, Penans were popularized by a guy called Bruno Mansell. I'm sure all of you know that. But those days, nobody knows. They were swinging from one wine to another wine, and if anyone goes there, that's dinner for them. But this couple went. They stayed among themselves, with them, for 35 years. 35 years. And they wanted to develop their language. So when a chicken crossed their path, they heard two people, or the Penan people, making sounds. And with that sound, they developed what is the chicken known as in their language. And they developed the dictionary. And with the dictionary, they translated the Bible, the New Testament. First, they translated the first book, second book, third book. And after that, they taught them the language using the Bible as a textbook. And so on and so forth. And then the other missionaries came. Now, I was so privileged because I've been with the Bible Society since 1998. In 1997, this couple came back to Malaysia. By the time this husband was already 89 years old. And at that time, I was a young guy in the board. And he asked me to set up the laptop so that he could make a presentation. I was happy to set up everything. Then he presented what he did 45 years ago. But to my surprise, I was hearing everything. He was using his knuckles here to press the keyboard on the laptop. After everything was over, I asked him, "What happened to your fingers?" He said, 40 years in the jungle with all diseases, ailments. Now his hands have crumbled. You see, crippled. He has to use that. My dear friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, this is still going on. In many parts of the world, missionaries are going into the interior parts and they are living with them, dialoguing with them, discussing with them. And through that, the Bible is being given to them. So that explains the whole process of Bible integrated Bible ministry, translation, publication, distribution, using the Bible as a textbook to teach their language, to teach, evangelize back to them. And Bible literacy. Bible literacy is still needed in this country, my dear brothers. The Bible Society just translated a Bible among the Orang Asli, among the Jahud group. I went and visited 11 villages in Mentakab and Jerantut. Just about 2 hours away from Kuala Lumpur, when we have high rises here, there are thousands of people who can't read and write in this country. I came back and reported it to the board. I said, we have translated the Bible. For whom? They can't read and write. We have a large ministry of using that Bible to teach them the language. The children of that group started going to school from 2003. And what about the rest of them? The rest of their parents and grandparents. They are still existing. These are some of the issues that after the general election, we will have to take it up. Education for the real pre-Bumi people of this country. It's sad. It is really sad. Let me just take you to further. So the Bible Society has been distributing Bibles. From then on, we have been helping the China work in mainland China of subsidizing for the Bible paper. We have also been distributing Bibles among the foreign workers, refugees, and the migrant workers in this country. And we have also ongoing with the Bible translation as such. Now we have a translation. We have a new Malay Bible, which is very close to the original languages. We are coming out with a BM Study Bible. We are also doing the Penan Old Testament and many other languages that needs to be revised. We are still continuing that. You can see all those languages. During the last year, during the COVID, we have started Bible translation, two other languages called Samalai and Jakun. So these are the thing. Now the one important great service that we have started 5 years ago is serving the migrant foreign workers and refugees through the scripture supply. We are raising our own funds and we are working with the refugee schools and migrant ministry throughout Malaysia. And we have now 28 nationalities in this country. Malaysia is the only recipient of all these people in this country. We have a great mission. God has given Malaysia a great mission for Christians in this country, for the Christian church in this country. And we could witness that today. And we have, if you come to Bible Society of Malaysia, we have Bibles among in the 28 nationalities. Bibles in Arabic, Persian, Iranian, Urdu, Persian script, Devanagari script, Nepalese, Myanmar. The Myanmar itself, they have got different dialects, the Bangladeshi, the Rohingyas. And these are the things. In the past, Bible Society has faced a lot of problem. After the 2014 raid, we are not allowed to bring Bibles through the ports of Peninsula Malaysia. We had to bring it to Kuching. Now, these are the ministry and mission of the Bible Society. Let me get into the message for today, which is related to my to the Bible mission. And the passage that Pastor Ruth has said that I've taken is Luke chapter 24, verse 13 to 35. It's a very familiar passage. After the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus got into a conversation, a journey with two of his disciples. These disciples were so devastated. They have lost their master. They have got nobody to look out for. The master has been, they can't find. Maybe the 12 apostles have seen, but these people have not seen. They were coming back from Jerusalem to a nearby town where they were living, a town called Emmaus. Emmaus. And there, Jesus entered into the journey with them. They didn't know that it was Jesus. And this is where the message is. As the Minnesota couple entered into the journey of the Penan people, we have to enter into the journey with other people. People who are incomprehensible with us. People we have so much of prejudice, people who we can't relate with in our own language, but we are called to enter into a journey with them. Unless and until we don't journey with people, we will not be able to transmit the word of God. We will not be a person who can influence them. We must bring the love of God to them. And as Jesus journeyed with them, and explained to them and made them to evangelize. There were two disciples. One of them was named there, a person called Cleophas. And Cleophas started saying all those things that happened in Jerusalem. And Jesus again provoked him, Cleophas. What happened? Not that he doesn't know. He is the character, the main character. You know what? Essentially what happened? He was training Cleophas to become a good evangelist. He was training Cleophas to become a good evangelist. So Cleophas started saying all that has happened. So the first point that I would like to share in our daily walk with Christ, we are also called to walk with other people. Other people in this nation, other people whom we can relate with, whom we can't relate with, anyone for that matter. And finally, it will lead us to a particular mission. Secondly, Jesus used the Old Testament. Here in this passage, Jesus used the Old Testament to teach. What all happened? So the Old Testament is very important. It's an integral part of the New Testament. It's an integral part of the 66 books of the Bible. The Old Testament conceals what is hidden in the New Testament. And the New Testament reveals what is concealed in the New Old Testament. It's very important. And Jesus taught them using the Old Testament, all these things have to be done. Must happen. This must happen. And finally, after this long period of Bible study that they had with these two disciples, it's like a Bible study, you know? It's a Bible study. The Bible study that we do is we sit on a chair. The Bible study that Jesus Christ did was, he was walking with them. That walking, that journeying together. Finally, the Bible study ended up with what? Fellowshipping. After this, we go out and we have fellowship over a meal or some snacks. The old saying that goes, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach, is very relevant, isn't it? When the stomach is filled, the fellowshipping takes place. Just like what we witnessed today, the act of baptism. In Acts chapter 8, we see Philip as he was journeying with a eunuch. He was preaching to the eunuch in Ethiopia. You know, the eunuch was the one who started the church in Ethiopia. And after a while, the eunuch said, I believe in Jesus Christ. Can you baptize me? When they came to a stream of water, Philip, one of the apostles, came and said, you are ready to be baptized. So likewise, what happened here? At the end of this conversation, at this end of this journey, the disciples called Jesus, can you come to our house? Yes, we will come. And as they sat, what happened? Jesus broke bread. In the book of God, the Gospel of Luke, there is no event of communion there. But this is the event where Jesus broke bread with the disciples. And as soon as the breaking of the bread took place, what happened? Their eyes were opened. Earlier they had all theoretical explanation. But theory itself is not important. You must translate it into experience. Intellectual knowledge must be translated into experiential knowledge. Bible study must always lead us to fellowshipping with God and with one another. And this is what always happens in a church. We break the bread. We sing together. And these are as practical aspects of Christian life. Only when we journey with others, we can relate with others. Only when we face the realities of this world, when we face the challenges of this world, we can take a step of faith. Isn't it? It's not just enough being baptized, but we have to go out. Jesus brought three disciples to the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter said, can we put a tent and sit here? No, you go down to the valley. You meet the realities of the world. Then only your faith can be challenged. And then only you can go on with this journey. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today you have been baptized. And as a Christian, you are going to take a long journey of life. And all of us are going through this journey. Fourthly, let me just tell you, these disciples were so devastated, their face was so down. But when they heard that it was Jesus amidst them, it became songs of joy. Psalm chapter 126, verse 5 and 6, those who sow in tears will reap songs of joy. When we meet Jesus Christ in our personal, in our individual life, all our sorrows will be taken away. We become joyful amidst the challenges, the burdens that we carry. We are sure that there is Jesus Christ who has gone to the cross for us. He loved us so much because of that. Finally, let me conclude. I have titled this sermon as Way of Evangelism of Jesus Christ. The journey to Emmaus is a way of evangelism according to Jesus Christ. what really happened? Jesus was commissioning, the commissioning process of Jesus Christ was taking place. The process starts with journeying. As we journey, we encounter. As we journey, we have conversation with one another. As we journey, we explain and we receive explanation. As we journey, we teach. As we journey, we do evangelism and mission. All this takes place in a Bible school, in a theological college, even in a church. This whole process. And this is how Jesus called his disciples. And this is how we must make disciples of all nations. So mission starts with a vision. The vision can be imparted as we journey together with others. But let me just go back to the verse 32. If you have the Bible, if you have the app, turn with me to Luke chapter 24, verse 32. That is the punchline. That's the most important verse in that whole passage. Verse 32 says, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us and opened the scriptures to us? Were not our hearts burning in us? My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, those who are, we experience heartburn. Why? When we eat a lot, when we become glutton, at night our heart burns. You can take a Gaviscon or a Jalousil and you can erase that, isn't it? But that's not the burning of heart that Jesus talks about here. Heart is burned. There is this great need. A thirst is coming out from the deep stomach. Is coming. The urge to share the gospel. The urge to experience love and to give love and to receive love. So today, my brothers and sisters, wherever we are, whoever we are, our hearts must burn. Our hearts must burn for the mission of God in Malaysia. Our hearts must burn for the Bible mission to bring this word of God to the ends of the world. And today, I'm asking you, I'm setting all of us with the challenge. Can we be an influencer? Can we be a teacher? Can we be an evangelist? Can we be a missioner? In the pattern of Jesus Christ. Yes, if our hearts are burnt, not with fire, but the fire of the Holy Spirit, if the fire of the Holy Spirit is within us, then we have no excuses in this world but to bring the word of God to the people whom we know and the people whom we don't know, the people who can journey with us, nor the people that we don't agree with anyone for that matter. Praise be to God. Thank you.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope that you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, and make disciples.